I'm pleased to say we have Laura Burke, head of the EPA, here in studio with us this morning. But before we go to her, we're going to hear from a range of voices on this. First up, we have Hannah Quinn Mulligan. She was in Teagasc Moor Park, home of the National Dairy Research Centre, on Tuesday for their open day to hear what farmers think. And she began by talking to Lawrence Shalhoub, head of Animal and Grassland Research.
There's been massive change in terms of the last nitrates action programme from the point of view of banding, reduced chemical nitrogen, slurry spreading dates, fertiliser spreading dates, soil water storage requirements. They are all going to have a pretty dramatic effect in terms of nitrate loss. Our modelling says it's somewhere between 12 and 19% of a reduction. So we expect that they will have a reduction in nitrate loss and help increase water quality.
Is there an argument as well that we should have looked at the advice and research sooner? Like that 85 number from the 90s, even say the drought that you mentioned, and I remember the drought, and the advice was to go out with fertiliser in a time when there was not a hope in hell that the fertiliser was even going to soak into the ground. So then when the rain did come, it soaked away. I mean, should we have been more on the ball there?
Yeah, you could be right, but hindsight is 20/20. You know, in terms of 2018, yeah, 2018, I think, you know, there was, you know, fertilizer put out when it probably wasn't going to give it a response. It was probably the first serious drought that we had seen from an Irish context. So I suppose the important thing is that you learn lessons from these, and that's what we have done. Today is all about that, getting that advice back to farmers, whether it's, you know, fertilizer type, whether it's clover, whether it's, you know, type of animal in terms of beef characteristics. So that's all today is about, is getting those messages to farmers to help them on that journey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Conor Mulvihill, head of Dairy Industry Ireland. Have the processors worked out, if the derogation goes, how much less milk is going to be produced? You know, the long-term effects of that as well.
We're working on figures around that. We haven't them completed, but we're keeping a close eye. It's not an issue until we see actual policy change proposal at the moment.
And what's the biggest challenge at the minute? Is it water quality? Is it animal welfare? Is it reducing emissions? What would you say is number one at the minute?
I would say water quality, if you're to ask me specifically, Hannah, what is the Garrock closest our neck at the moment. That is the one. And I get a huge positivity around the farmers that they're already embracing it and they will do more. The last EPA report showed stabilisation and tiny, tiny amounts of improvement. We're not where we want to be, but we have one of the highest water qualities in Europe, and we're going to go up that league table.
Cheers, thank you very much.
All right.
Easy questions first. What are your names?
Tim Ford is my name.
Dan Calvin.
And there's a young man standing next to you as well. What's your own name?
James Lumbert.
Then everyone's dairy farming. So for the start with you, you're the new entrant in the group.
Yeah.
So how old are you?
15.
So what are the plans?
Well, it is the increase now next year. We started off with 45 cows this year. It is hopefully to increase about 50, 60 next year. So.
Okay. And what are the challenges that you see though?
Well, it is the price of milk as well. It's, you know, it's decreasing the whole time. It came from 52 to start the year down to nearly 40 now. That's the only challenge really I see. But there's no need to be worried. Like, that's when stress happens.
Yes,
like, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
So. And over here, anyone else? Are you feeling positive over here as well?
I suppose. Look, there is a lot of challenges. All right. The talks of derogation going down to 220, it is a bit worrying. Like, I suppose the way the nitrate banding last year, I suppose it affected a lot of people and they don't know whether to push on with milk or pull back. The derogation is a big playing on a lot of fellas' minds, I suppose.
And it's all linked to water quality as well, and the EPA report came out. I mean, would you have any questions about the EPA report?
Water quality is probably decreasing, all right. This year wouldn't have been the best year to get the water quality report, so I suppose with a lot of fertiliser put out to start of the year, and it rained so much, and in the drought, I suppose there's a lot of leaching and runoff and stuff like that, but I don't know. We'll be trying to go on the expanding scale as well, because I'm just out of college. Well, if derogation goes, we're caught. We'll have to pull back or get more land, but yeah, we'll be under pressure. You don't know what to expect in the future, but I'll be looking hopeful anyway.
And we've got a wiser head here over here. But I'm wondering, was it easier to be a dairy farmer 10 years ago than it is now?
I don't think so. For all my life we worked with quotas. So quotas were a challenge while I farmed. No, there's challenges, but there's still an awful lot of opportunities. The one thing I probably do see is that there aren't enough hardly young people coming into it. So that's probably one of the bigger things.
And the dairy exit scheme, do you have people saying that they're quite keen to join up to that to get out of cows at the end of this year if there is a dairy exit scheme?
Yeah, I know of people that would be very interested in it. the land will actually go into either forestry or the most likely forestry in a lot of my area anyway. So I think it's going completely in the wrong direction here from my point of view.
You've been brought up like milking cows, so I suppose you don't, I don't know, it's hard to see us doing anything else anyway, like.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hannah Quinn Mulligan in Moor Park during the week. And it's also just important to mention it isn't just about dairy farmers. There are about 700 beef farmers in derogation and also tillage farmers as well. But of course, it isn't just farmers who care about this. It is also the public. And this includes locals who are concerned about the impacts of pollution on the streams, rivers and lakes in their area. Now, just outside of Headford in Galway, there's a group of people who are particularly worried about the state of Loch Corrib. They're part of the Caramask Corrib Water Protection Group and the East Corrib Alliance. While Hannah was in Moor Park, I went down to Galway and I met them, starting with Ignatius Egan.
We're basically looking down on a tributary of the main river, and this stream does not sustain life anymore. This stream is effectively dead.
Why is it dead?
It's dead because it's overpolluted with it's over nutrification. It's basically agricultural runoff.
The EPA interim report that was published last week, what's your response to that?
Well, I think it's hopeful. Yeah, it's a green shoot. We've got great support from the local farmers, and they are now putting in their fencing along the riverbanks.
What about enforcement?
Oh, you're depending on goodwill. Enforcement is not something that works in this country. If we don't act, and if we don't do what we need to do, and we're going to lose our wild brown trout, you will not be able to drink water from the Loch Corrib. That is a complete tragedy, and we can't allow that to happen.
My name is Frank Rowley.
Kevin O'Crowley.
And Billy Kavanagh.
Thank you very much for being with me. What's your response to the EPA interim report that was published last week?
We read the report with a lot of interest. Unfortunately, it does say that there hasn't been any improvement. There is a large concentration of nitrates, nitrites,
ammonia. Sampled yesterday.
Which leads to depletion, if you like, due to growth of weeds, and that leads to depletion of oxygen within the rivers themselves.
The Anacutra here just flows through agricultural land up to its source, so it's run off, and we have been sampling for the last, since 2018, exceedingly high levels of nitrate phosphate. The rivers around here, they're under severe pressure, which affects Loch Corrib, which again, as I say, is the largest lake in the Republic of Ireland, and has sustained people for thousands of years, and has had angling tourism for about 200 years, which has brought in a huge amount of money. As an economic unit, it's a very valuable asset, not just socially.
Yesterday, for example, Frank and I visited three farmers in the local area. They were very, very much behind our efforts, and they have given us permission to do some work on the rivers which are crossing their lands, kind of. So we want to work with the farmers. We help them by putting up fencing. We help them by providing stakes. We help them by putting in alternate water supplies like solar panel water pumps.
And I can see that you all hold goodwill with the farmers, so this question is a bit tricky to ask. Mm. But is it not the case that the farmers should be doing that anyway?
Well, it is, but you have to get a bit of a push to do things every so often.
And many farmers are just doing what they were told, in the sense of intensification. Slurry, we see, is one of the main problems. Many farmers are a member of our angling club. A lot of them feel uneasy, I think, is the word. But they were pushed and told to get into all this.
You're nodding your head there.
Yeah, because we see it. We're talking with the farmers nearly every day now the last couple of weeks. They're all very, very keen to get involved in biodiversity.
How quickly do you think things can change with the kind of actions that you're encouraging farmers to take here?
Policy has to change. Intensification. acidic slurry manure. It was regarded as a valuable asset for years, and it's become nearly a waste product. It has to come from the top.
Okay, the encouragement over the years to fertilise, kind of the results of that policy, if you like, are coming to the fore now in relation to the rivers and the waters that we are here.
Irish farmers have been pushed into a very narrow-minded aspect of agriculture, i.e. you throw a lot of fertiliser on the ground, you get milk or beef coming out the other end. It doesn't work like that. The natural world is a hell of a lot more complex than that. One example here in this river, there's no dippers up here. They used to be here. It's a small bird that can swim underwater and pick up invertebrates because there's no invertebrates. So the pollution doesn't just affect our fish, it affects everything.
No. Like if I just go out into any of the lakes and pull on it along an island and look at the rocks, they're covered in algae. We're running out of time. The changes are very dramatic.
The last 10 or 15 years, sorry, Frank.
They're very dramatic. For us, it is alarming. At the end of the day, it's about clean water coming out our taps and not costing any more to the taxpayer.
Members of the Caramask Carb Water Protection Group and the East Carb Alliance talking to me there. And you can hear there's something really positive, at least, about the way in which locals and farmers are trying to work together to solve the problem. Now, I'm very mindful we have a lot of non-farmers who listen, and some words like derogation and banding and stocking rates really won't mean much. But in essence, we're just talking about pulling nutrients away from the farming system, the nutrients that's causing the pollution, while also making sure that farmers can stay economically viable. 51551 for your texts. Laura Burke, head of the Environmental Protection Agency, good morning, and thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
I have an awful lot of questions to get through with you, but to start, I just wonder, zooming out a bit, why should the public care about this report? What does it matter?
Well, we all rely on clean water. We need clean water to live. We need clean water, whether we're drinking it, whether we're in swimming. You know, it's such an important asset for the country. And the other piece, I suppose, for Ireland that I will always say is we rely in Ireland on our clean green image. So we rely on this image of green fields and clean waterways, not only in the context of agriculture, marketing our agriculture, but also for our tourism sector, etc. We are really, really dependent on it. And it's such a fabulous asset. So therefore, when we've got challenges like our challenges to our water quality, it's really important that we recognise them and address them.
I've spent the week talking to various people, farmers, concerned locals, scientists and all the rest. And there appears to be quite a bit of confusion about this report, particularly the two maps that are in it. And I just want to ask you if you can just explain. I mean, for years, the EPA has produced reports showing that much of the east and the southeast is struggling with nitrogen, excessive nitrogen. If you draw a line from Kerry to Louth, north of that, sort of diagonally across Ireland, north, it's a phosphorus issue. South, it's a nitrogen issue. But this latest map using European Commission criteria includes most of Ireland, you know, from the south to the west to the Midlands. And I think people are confused. Farmers are confused as to why that is. Can you explain why it is?
It is relatively straightforward, and it's like all of these things, and I've heard some of the confusion myself. And basically, with regard to the Commission criteria, what they've asked us to do is look at a subset of our overall monitoring. It's called our surveillance monitoring programme. It's a couple of hundred monitoring stations versus the thousands that we actually have around the country. And that gives a high-level view with regard to what's happening in the country. And because they've asked us not only with regard to nitrates, but also to look at potential for eutrophication. And we were hearing that in the clip earlier about, you know, algae growth in rivers, lakes, etc.
Too much nutrients from other things like phosphorus.
Exactly. So what's happened with this report is what you're seeing challenges with nitrates and phosphorus. So it's broader than just the nitrates issue. And this is very similar to reports EPA has been publishing for many, many years that, exactly as you say, highlights we have a nitrate issue, we also have a phosphorus issue.
So using the EU criteria, as you have had to do, which was agreed by the Department of Agriculture, it has basically brought in a lot more of this issue than just the south and the southeast.
It absolutely has. And also it hasn't brought in some areas, particularly in the Cork region, which has been highlighted to me, that have nitrogen problems. And I suppose to be really clear, we're not saying in some of the areas that aren't red, there aren't challenges with regard to nitrogen. And in the report as well, we published specifically to highlight this issue, a targeted agriculture measures map. And that's a lot more sophisticated. It includes all of the thousands of monitoring stations we have, and it identifies the areas where phosphorus challenge and identifies the areas for nitrate challenges.
I mean, you've brought up something that again confuses farmers, which is if you imagine a map of Ireland, most of it is red, but there is this band, almost like the lower legs of Ireland, that are cut off from areas, Waterford and Kerry, that we know farmers are in derogation, and farmers have been told in the past there is an issue there, but it's not included. Why is that?
And that's really just because this is this very high level number of monitoring stations for the specific purpose of this interim assessment that were included.
So you don't have monitoring stations for the surveillance network in the likes of the Blackwater?
Exactly. So, but it's not, I suppose, to be really, really clear, what we are not saying is this is the definitive map. And you need to look at the multiple EPA reports that clearly state, based on science, these are the issues with regard to nitrate and phosphorus. So for the EPA, this is just one map and one a part of the overall story. And of course, I'm sure the Commission, as part of their overall assessment, will be looking at all of the other data, including the much more detailed information the EPA has provided.
I mean, there is a word that has been used by some about this report, and that is flawed. You know, the Irish Farmers Journal released a statement saying the whole interim review process was flawed from the very start. The map is nonsensical, and they say it's a flawed report. And I saw in the Irish Farmers Journal editorial, they say it's flawed data, flawed comparative measures, quote, both ignoring science and experience, resulting in farmers expected to do something that could potentially reduce dairy farm income by 30% and put other agri sectors out of existence while doing nothing to improve the environment. What do you say to that?
Well, I take real issue with that. The EPA, we are an independent scientific body. That's what we do. We are the science, the data and the evidence. And we have been reporting for many years with regard to the issue with regard to nitrates. The information that we provide is absolutely based on good science, good data. And I'm very disappointed that the argument, because people mightn't like the message, sometimes there is, well, we'll attack the messenger or we attack the science. This is absolutely good science. There's no surprises in this report in that we have been highlighting the issue with nitrates. 40% of Ireland's rivers have nitrates levels that are too high. 20% of our estuaries. What's really worrying in our latest report, our full water quality report, which we issued last year, was that there's a 16% reduction in the quality of water in our estuaries. And that's because primarily of agricultural runoff down into the estuaries. We have a problem. We need to acknowledge that and then take measures to address it.
I've been speaking to dairy farmers during the week, and they are really struggling, as you can imagine, to understand the implications of this, struggling to know the pathway through for them, struggling to know if there's a future for what they're doing. And I suppose for some in derogation, they have nowhere to go, either because they can't buy any more land, they can't afford it, or it's not available to dilute the problem, or they can't afford to drop the numbers. One young farmer, 30-year-old Jack Keenan from Wicklow, has been in the news. He has a herd of 65 cows. He's currently spreading about 237, I think, kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So he's below that 250 limit. He was accepted by the department into a derogation in 2020. And on the back of that, he got a bank loan for nearly $500,000. He wants and needs time to work through this. Is it possible that farmers can be given that time? So the measures that they've had to take in the last few years, and this has really stepped up in the last year in particular, the measures can be implemented and we can see that impact on water quality. Can more time be given?
Well, ultimately, this is with regard really for negotiation between the Commission and the Department of Agriculture. What we in the EPA will be saying is we've been highlighting this issue for many, many years. And there are actions that can be taken. We heard Chagas talking about some of the actions that are being taken now. What we would highlight is we're on our fifth Nitrates Action Programme. The fourth Nitrates Action Programme did not address water quality issues. And what the EPA's role is to look at the impact on the ground of measures. So what we're seeing is that since 2012, really, there has been an issue with regard to nutrients in our water quality. What we are seeing is some stabilisation with regard to phosphorus. We're seeing stabilisation with regard to biological quality. But the issue is it's stabilisation at far too high a level. So actions need to be taken. And I've huge, like, really do understand the challenges. And, you know, these are people who have to work for a living. And as you said, taking out bank loans, etc. And for us, it's absolutely critical that when you're looking at what needs to be done, there needs to be support and guidance, there needs to be incentives. And of course, for the few that don't comply, there needs to be enforcement and regulation. And the EPA have been given a stronger role in that.
I'm talking to Laura Burke, the head of the EPA, and our text message number is 51551. Laura, for people who are concerned about water pollution, and we heard there from a group in Loch Corrib, and I mean, I've spoken, as other people have, to similar groups around the country. They want to know, is this going to work? Farmers also want to know, is 220 going to work? What does the science say about that?
Well, what Chagas were looking at the, you know, 220 versus 250, and there's some discussion with regard to that.
I mean, Chagas say it won't work.
And they're looking at particular criteria. What we say is it's back to, we look at the impact. And there are, as you've already said, there are a lot of measures that have been included in the Nitrates Action Plan that should have a kind of significant benefit. Whether they work, it's all about implementation on the ground. And we see this in all environmental areas. So we have a policy, but how the policy then translates to implementation on the ground. So I don't think any of us can say to you it absolutely critically will work or it won't. The key thing now is we get on with it. And we've also seen lots of good work at individual farm level. And these have had considerable success with regard to kind of changing the dynamic, reducing nutrients, etc. It can be win-wins with regard to the economic aspects as well, because remember, when you're putting fertilizer on, there's a cost to that and then it's wasted. But we really need to scale up all of those measures.
How quickly can nutrients be washed out of the system, if you like? So farmers are asked to pull back. How quickly will they then see the results in water quality?
And this is something that people have said, oh, it'll take a long time. It doesn't. And what we certainly saw, and there was a reference earlier to the 2018 drought, we saw at that stage the increase in nutrients, the increase in nitrates very quickly. It came through the following year. So equally, you can see it going down as well. So actually, the change can happen quickly.
Because I suppose farmers will want to know, what does success look like?
Yeah.
What are they aiming for?
And I think with those reductions, as I said, you can see success relatively quickly. We see within a year or so with regard to, particularly with regard to nitrates. Like ultimately, what will success look like is that we will have waters that are not eutrophic. We'll have waters that are good quality for everyone.
I just wonder, at this stage, I mean, I mentioned Jack Keenan there in Wicklow, and he was brought into derogation in 2020. He was allowed by the department to do that. Is that right, that there's new entrants coming into derogation, given what the science is saying, given that they're getting banks to give them big loans on the back of it, when what you're saying is, look, don't assume, I mean, 220, it possibly will go down even further.
And I think, again, this is about having very, very clear discussions with regard to what are the issues and what are the challenges. And one of the things, I suppose, is to be aware as well, is Ireland is now one of very few starting to be kind of almost just the only country with derogation. Denmark still has it at the moment. So it is something that has changed over the years. It is, you know, our role is to provide the science. Our role is to say, this is the situation. It's not overall getting better. This is an issue for Ireland. And therefore, it's a risk from when people are entering into these schemes on assumptions that things will last out forever.
I mean, you know, we heard with Hannah, you know, really enthusiastic 15-year-old who's, you know, really looking forward clearly to a life of farming, wants to expand. But is it responsible that he will be allowed to expand, given what the science is saying?
Well, ultimately the environment can only take so much with regard to whether it's any type of environmental pollution. And we have to recognise that. And there's been a big focus in Ireland about efficiency. You know, we'll be more and more efficient, but the environment doesn't understand efficiency. It understands the total load. And I think it's back to we need to recognise that. And also, there's been such a focus on dairy. You know, dairy numbers have gone up 33% over the last number of years. Even within the food vision strategy itself, it's recognising the importance of other things such as organics, such as tillage, such as, so to have diversification in agriculture. And in the context of greenhouse gas emissions, it's going to be really important to have different types of agriculture in Ireland, because agriculture isn't just dairy.
One of the questions that has come through a few times with farmers I've spoken about is, how often are you testing the rivers?
And this comes to us as well. Some of the nutrients we're testing up to 12 times a year. Others around 4 times a year. The ecology or biology is done on a 3-year rolling cycle. But when we're talking about nutrients, you're talking about very, very frequent monitoring.
I just wonder, you know, for people who aren't in farming, but may remember the excitement, the justifiable excitement, you know, about expansion and young farmers being able to support their families. At that time, they were told, this is sustainable. Bord Bia had Origin Green. They were told, what you are doing is sustainable. They were given advice from Teagasc about spreading fertiliser. How is it possible that they now find themselves in this situation? You have young Jack Keenan there in Wicklow, nearly 500,000 potentially in debt. I mean, you know, not least the mental health concerns that this will cause. How is it possible that we've got here?
And I suppose I have to kind of keep highlighting the EPA role in all of this, because our role is to provide the science. Our role is to highlight the challenges, the issues, the risks. And this is something that we have done for many years with regard to this. We've done it since the time of expansion. And I think there's it's back to that really important role when we want a change now. And farmers, when I was listening to them during the week as well, they were saying, we've always changed. There's always been a change in the way we work. We need the proper advice and guidance. We need incentives for farmers to do the right thing based on science. And that's going to be really important, as is another change. It's a transformation. There's lots of opportunity now as well. So, you know, of course, we're focusing this week on some of the real big challenges, but there's also opportunity.
But have you
in this
been listened
sector.
To in the last couple of decades enough?
I think, and I was being asked this recently, I think our work is now more relevant than it's ever been. And I think we are being listened to now. I've been in this business for 20 odd years. And the engagement I've had with the agriculture sector over the last number of years, I've never had that level of engagement, and very positive engagement, I should say, as well.
And we heard the local groups as well in the Corrib as well, that they have very positive relationships with the farmers, which is one very good thing to come out of all of this, which is locals and farmers working well together. We'll have to leave it there. I mean, no doubt we're going to be coming back to this again and again. But Laura Burke from the Environmental Protection Agency, thank you very much for coming along this morning. We've had an awful lot of texts coming through. We are going to take a break. 51551 for your texts. We'll be back in a minute.
Email countrywide@rte.ie.